Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, winner of three Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence.
In your face, Milwaukee!
Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, good morning. We are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Ask Chuck and Winkler anything. It's your opportunity to ask us whatever you want. The questions can be wise, well thought out, smart. They can also be stupid and dumb. Whatever comes in, we'll answer at 105.7 FM The Fan on Twitter. Tweet us with the hashtag AskCW. We'll do that in about 40 minutes or so. We put up a poll. We're asking you guys, what worries you more, the Brewers offense or the Packers defense? Defense was all right the other day. I still think people are looking for more from Mike Pettine's scheme, and we're only two games in. The Brewers offense has been struggling against some bad teams outside of Monday. So where do you think, you got a good pulse of our listenership. Chuck, where do you think Fan Nation is at? What worries you more, Brewers offense or Packers defense?
I mean, all things created equal, I think they'll probably say the Packard defense. More people care about the Packers than the Brewers, obviously. But if they were to, you would put both on equal terms, I would say the Brewers, but I bet you Fan Nation says Packers.
All right, well, we just put up the poll about 10 minutes ago, about 200 votes real quick. You can continue to vote at 105.7 FM, The Fan. 68% of you say the Brewers offense is more worrisome.
All right, that's good to hear.
Then the, is
it? Not, I mean, it's good, it's not good.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, awful. But, yeah, the offense of the Brewers, so 30-some-odd percent think that the Packers' defense is a work in progress. We're going to get better. I mean, the Brewers have, just like the Packer defense, the Brewers have talented guys in their lineup. The Packers have talented guys in their defensive side of the football. They do. They have some guys on that. They shouldn't be getting beat for a 75-yard touchdown pass. They shouldn't let Kirk Cousins score three touchdowns against them in the fourth quarter. The defense should be better than that.
I think the area where I would worry the most about the defense is the pass rush. You've got two guys that are making a good chunk of change, which it's not my money, so, you know, but Clay Matthews is making a bunch of money here. I've obviously been a critic of him, and he came under fire. Actually, Brett Favre commenting on that hit. We'll hear from Favre here in a minute, too. But when they signed Nick Perry to a deal, it was so, it was such a Milwaukee Bucks deal. Like, here's a guy who had a good month. Let's give him 4 years, $45 million. And that's what happened with Nick Perry. Nick Perry had the sack against Chicago. Other than that, I totally forgot he existed on Sunday. Like, yeah. I didn't think of him. I didn't hear his name. When I was watching the game, I just didn't even see him. I just forgot he existed.
Well, here's my deal. When you said it's not your money, well, what bothers me about these guys making a lot of money and not producing is you're taking up money that could be paid to some guys who are producing and taking money away on the salary cap because you only got so much money to spend. And when you're paying this much to Clay Matthews and you're paying this much to Nick Perry and they're not producing, that's a problem.
Right, and that's where the Khalil Mack situation would have come in, because could you have afforded Khalil Mack to be the most well-paid defensive player at the same time that you have the highest-paid player in the league right now in Aaron Rodgers? And the Khalil Mack thing is something we're probably going to be talking about him for about 5 years. Because even though the Bears had a better offer in, the Packers were in on it. And they obviously could have addressed that need. Now there's other guys whose names I've heard come up over the last few weeks. Jerry Hughes is with the Bills. Mm-hmm. Bills are 0-2. They could trade for Jerry Hughes. He's making $10 million this year, $10 million next year, and then he's a free agent. That may make sense if the Packers are able to find something. Chandler Jones, you could trade the Cardinals for Chandler Jones, another edge rusher, but he's under contract through 2021, and he's making 15.5 this year and then 20 the next three. I don't see any room for that. Under
we're
the Packers' current structure.
You're going to pay that guy that money. You might as well pay Khalil Mack.
Right.
And trade draft picks to get the best guy in the league.
There's another guy out there, John Simon, who was cut by the Colts because he didn't fit their scheme. He could be a guy that the Packers look into. But he did work out yesterday with the Lions. And so did Aaron Ripkowski, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Worked out with the Lions. I've seen a lot of names kicked around. We had a call yesterday from Trell. He mentioned Earl Thomas, Chandler Jones, Jerry Hughes, John Simon, any name coming up. I just think I don't know if there's an opportunity for the Packers to go out and get an edge rusher. There's not a guy in a situation like New England getting Josh Gordon yesterday. There's not a situation I don't see like that. That's when trades happen in the in the regular season, is when it's just not working out or last straw and the team takes a low risk, high reward move like New England did.
Yeah, disgruntled player like Josh Gordon, who's had a little bit of a history, and New England takes a flyer on him, and you know it'll probably work out for New England, I would think.
Just because these teams start 0-2 doesn't mean they're just going to start selling off the farm here. Mm-hmm. And I know that as Packer fans, we're trying to look for upgrades. Eric Reed's a name that a lot of us have mentioned, both online and in real life. And it's just I don't see the upgrades coming from outside of the clubhouse right now. Whatever improvements they have to have on the pass rush is going to have to come from within. And I'm telling you, man, I'm just so worried about that part of the football team that it's troublesome.
I mean, the front four, you know, the guys who are the front three, I should say, those guys, and then if you want to put the Dean Lowrys and guys like that in the mix, that's solid. It's the edge rushers who, you know, they're paid like they should be. We should be fine at that department, but they're not producing. Perry and Matthews. You hope it's going to get better as the season goes on, but who knows? Secondary, they're not going to bring any more secondary help. They're going to grow with these young guys. They love Alexander. They love Jackson. They're going to live with Devon House. Clinton Dix is in the final year of his contract. You're hoping that he's going to have a contract year this year, but if anything, they need to fix what needed to be fixed was the edge rushers, and I think they thought they did when they signed Perry to that big deal.
Perry's making 10 this year, 14 the next, 14 the next, and 14.
He ain't seen that.
The next. Yeah. Now, granted, NFL is not guaranteed. I don't think they guaranteed a lot of Nick's contract.
I
actually think they can get out of it. Is this the second year of his deal?
You can get out of any time.
But I think they've got a pretty easy out. Sometimes teams will build in like easy outs.
Yeah.
I think they've got a pretty easy out for him. And if he doesn't improve, I mean, for Nick Perry, if Nick Perry was a fifth of the rusher Khalil Mack was, he'd be great.
Yeah. At least let us know you're on the field.
Right.
Perry. Clay, at least show us you're on the field, other than at the end of games when there's a critical play to be named and you're getting a penalty against you. Right or wrong this past Sunday, it was still against him, but you didn't hear him the rest of the day.
Like, I'm a fan of this team. We cover this team. I live and die with this team. Honestly, the words Nick Perry did not even register in my brain for a whole afternoon.
Well,
how can that be?
Well, here's the deal.
Is that a me problem? Is that a
no?
Is that a memory loss problem?
No, he's not. Well, you know, if his name was called more on TV.
But I didn't even think of him.
Well, because that's on him. Do something out there where you can remember the guy. And I think this team is going to come down to, once again, like it does every year, it's going to come down to number 12. Aaron Rodgers is going to have to put the team on his back, overcome their pass rush. Geronimo Allison, it looks like he's coming on strong. Jimmy Graham had a nice week last week. It's just one of those deals, Bart, where I feel they got a limit they can take. They have a limit they're going to go to, just like the NFC Championship game in 2016. There's only so far these guys can go, because the defense ultimately is going to cost him games.
799-1250. What worries you more, the Brewers offense or the Packers defense? We've got a pull up right now where it seems like two out of every three of you say the Brewers offense actually worries you more than the Packers defense. That is a good question. What worries you more, Brewers offense or Packers defense?
Well, the Packers have a better chance of winning a championship, but the Brewers, if they could, they have talent on that. I mean, both teams, I think, have guys on that side of the ball. The Brewers have some talented offensive players. I don't know why they're getting three hits a game. The Packers have some talented guys on defense. Some of them are overpaid, and some of those guys are invisible. So why is the Packer defense struggling so much? They got brought the new defensive coordinator in. Well, still giving up some points. Gave up three touchdown passes the Cousins there and in the fourth quarter, and 29 points total for the game. So what's wrong with the defense? It's not the defensive coordinator.
I'd like to know when
y'all wanted a change of it.
Well, I'd like to know, and you've seen different things. They're doing different things. They're disguising blitzes differently. Sometimes Clay's playing more because he's dropping back more too. I wonder what Mike Pettine, when he's scheming for like Washington this week, and he looks at Clay, I wonder what's going through his head on Clay and Nick Perry.
Do we think
is he like, man, these are the worst edge rushers I've ever had. What am I supposed to do with them?
Do you think maybe with the Packer defense is a work in progress?
Hey, Josh Jackson, can you add 40 pounds real quick?
Well, I mean, he's been great. Jackson has. And Alexander, terrific interception, the over-the-shoulder grab that didn't count. Maybe, Bart, we have to just give the Packer defense some time. It's only two games. Should we check back in a couple of weeks or a month or so and see where they are? Maybe it's still a work in progress.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. Brett Favre has been really lately, too, in the news. Very, very concerned about safety, very critical. Would not let his grandkids play football. You've heard all those stories. So how does he feel, the former Packer and former Viking, about the Clay Matthews hit? We'll hear from Favre coming up. Also go in the locker room here from the one of the should-be leaders on the Packers defense, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. It's all in the next 10 minutes. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
You know, I like going out and watching a game here and there and going out and having something to eat, watching the game on TV at a place, and I got a terrific place for you to go. The Q Club of Wisconsin, your place to watch all your favorite sports action. But also, with your friends, you could bring them there, and they got the games on, they got the volume of the games on, they got great lunch and dinner specials, but also, you got some indoor sports going on there with a huge entertainment room. They got the pool tables, the tornado foosball, the shuffleboard, of course, the electronic darts, the ping pong, and a whole lot more. They got the indoor bocce ball leagues that are starting in November as well. Their extensive food menu, they'll bring out that menu. And I'm telling you, it's like reading the Bible. It's so thick, man. They got a lot of choices on that menu, including the award-winning fish fry. If you haven't had their fish fry, get out there on a Friday night. And if you can't get out there on a Friday night for the fish fry, hey, on Wednesdays, they're serving it as well. It is so popular. Your choice with the Friday fish fries at the Q Club. Four different styles pile very high with all the extras. Their happy hour specials daily from 3 until 7. The late night happy hours on Fridays starting at 10 p.m. Get off from a game, go out to the Q Club of Wisconsin in Waukesha, and those late night happy hour on Friday night start at 10 p.m. Check their Facebook page for the live entertainment that they got on most weekends. And if you're planning a company party or a private party, they can set you up there at the Q Club with the private rooms available with your own VIP suite with the luxury pool table as well. Really easy to get to. Get out there for a game. They got the TVs. They got the screens all over the place. They got the volume on and terrific burgers, the lunch specials, the dinners. I mentioned the fish fries as well. The Q Club of Wisconsin. Where is it? It's in Waukesha. It's on Grandview Boulevard, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard, just a half a mile south of I-94 in Waukesha. That would be Highway T. Take 94 to Highway T. You go south a half mile. You'll see the sign on the right-hand side as you're coming into town there, as you're driving down to Grandview. It says the Q Club of Wisconsin. Go right in the parking lot there, and you are good to go. Trust me. They'll take care of you at the Q Club. Tell them Freem sent you. The Q Club of Wisconsin, your place to watch all your favorite sports action.
And, and Clay's had a history of those type of plays. This one?
Yeah, what about this one? Brett Favre's thoughts on the Clay Matthews roughing the passer call and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. We'll hear from them both next on The Fan.
I saw a textbook hit. It wasn't late. I saw nothing that, and, you know, Clay's had a history of those type of plays. This one was textbook. And if you're going to use it as a teaching video, you teach that this is the way we expect you to tackle. And that's the way I saw it. That's neither being a Clay Matthews or Packer fan or a Minnesota Viking fan or hater. That was a bad call. And to me, why not be able to review that?
Well, Brett Favre, how about that? Smart guy, Chuck and Winkler from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. 1250 on your AM dial, 105.7 FM, and then you can also get us at the radio.com app. That's where we sound the most crystal clear, but you can listen to us on all three platforms. I like to take the, you can do Bluetooth or I have a USB cord, so I connect it into my car.
Are the new cars, and you would know this, the new cars have the Bluetooth in them, most of them?
Because of my Santa Fe Sport. I got it at Hyundai West Dallas, you mean?
Yeah, because I have like one from, I have a 2011 where I got to patch the cord in to the phone, and it says I hate it. Because sometimes the cord's a little loose, and I'm just not sure the input jack is working.
Is it an aux cord?
Yeah.
Like with the two little kind of nipple things?
No, not that one. No.
Is it a nipple thing?
No, not one of those. No, just a regular plug-in, and it just doesn't work very well.
Oh, mine works great.
I think mine is over time just because of the use.
You can do Bluetooth, and you can do the cord, either one.
Yeah.
You can do Bluetooth.
Can't do it. I mean, are more cars coming out with the Bluetooth?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think they make a new car without it now.
I think when I got my car in 2011, that had not yet arrived, except for like on the complete luxury cars.
This might sound messed up, but I do not like Bluetooth because I don't like how the Bluetooth symbol looks.
Oh, I don't even know what it is.
It's like a B.
Okay.
Looks like almost mountains on a side, and it looks like a B.
Oh, I don't even.
When the little B's up there on my phone, I'm like, yeah, see, I think get it off.
No, see, I think Bluetooth is a great invention because you can, you can use wireless speakers. Like in my house, I have these Bluetooth wireless speakers.
Yeah, but every wireless speaker I ever had is like 20 minutes of battery life. What's that about? No.
Did you ever try these, and this isn't a commercial for it, but those.
A message to my family and friends. Stop getting me little wireless speakers for Christmas, and stop getting me those Packer tumblers. Those Packer cups.
Well,
coffee cups with a G on it.
Yeah.
I get two of those a year.
Yeah, and that you never use.
Yeah, and then I always get the wireless speakers.
And they always take up space in the cupboard.
Just give me a gift card to somewhere I can go eat.
The wireless speakers, though, I got these UE Booms.
UE what?
It's called UE Booms.
Okay.
Ultimate Ears.
Oh, sure.
Real good. I mean, the battery life is excellent because I'll just take it on the golf course and, you know, good to go. And you're out there for 4.5 hours. And, I mean, you're out there and this is long life on those batteries. But I love the wireless speakers and the sound is great.
Well, I think that's for me the preferred way to get us when I'm driving around is through the app, whether it's Bluetooth or the cord. But you should be able to get us wherever you are, 1250, 105.7 in the app.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on the app. That's my go-to. And someday that's going to be the go-to for everybody. Someday in our country, that's going to be the go-to for the way we consume radio.
Now we're getting real deep.
I mean, down the road.
Well, we're getting,
whenever it happens,
getting real heavy here.
Well, you know how technology changes.
All the time. Let's go back to what Favre was saying with the hit on Clay Matthews. Haha, Clinton Dix was bumming around his locker on Monday when a lot of guys are they come in for meetings and then they get out of there and go do their public appearances. But media was able to talk to Haha for a little bit. He talked about if he knows how to hit a quarterback.
It just depends on who it is. If it's Andrew Luck, no.
Why do you say that?
What do you mean? He's 6'5", 900 pounds. he's just a big quarterback. But some of the guys are like Eli Manning, you know, I think I'd be able to handle him. But it just depends on who the quarterback is and you're going in on. So I don't get it, man.
The problem with Kirk Cousins is, you know, he's a pretty average-sized quarterback for the quarterbacks in the league, and Clay went after him and got a foul. Von Miller of the Broncos was asked about this. When you see that kind of hit, what do you do? And he says, I don't have a problem with the new rule because I don't go for the hit. I go for the ball. Von Miller says he always goes for the ball. He goes for the strip sack rather than the hit. So if there's anything that Clay can do, and really, there's not much it appears like Clay can do, but if they're going to call this, he's going to have to do something. And that, I think that was my point on Monday. Maybe he can try to think when he sees Kirk, he needs to focus his eyes on the ball rather than the hit. And I know that's not how he was coached, and I know that seems impossible to change, and I know it's dumb that he's got to change it in the first place, because what Clay did was not, that should be allowed in football, but if they are not going to allow it, if they're going to make the quarterbacks be, Chuck, in bubble wrap, then you're going to have to go for a different strategy. You're going to have to go for the football.
Well, I'd be curious to hear what defensive coaches say about that. Because McCarthy, he was saying the defensive coaches teach Clay Matthews when they teach how to go after quarterback. That's how you're supposed to do it, the way Matthews did it on Sunday. And going after the football, what if you miss? You get his arm after he's thrown the football? I don't know. I think going after the football, I get it, but still.
Von Miller's having another MVP start to the season, so if it works for him.
Well, he's physically very, very gifted. He's just a different – whether he was going for the football or going for the quarterback himself, he's going to get done either way.
Did the Ha-Ha Clinton Dix interception remind you of anything from Sunday?
The tip ball?
Yeah. Did that play an interception late in the game with a lead, but still time on the clock? Did that remind you of a game from maybe a few years ago?
Probably a few.
Maybe
what are you thinking?
An NFC Championship game. Maybe a Morgan Burnett interception.
Oh, that one, yes.
Did that remind you of that at all?
Yeah, but except there wasn't anybody to tell Ha-Ha to go down. Ha-Ha was thinking end zone.
Well, he talked about that, and that play reminded him of the Morgan Burnett play as well.
Just don't fumble the ball. I think we had a chance to win, and I wasn't thinking end zone, but after I watched the play, I was definitely thinking, damn, I should have scored, and we probably could have won the game, but that wasn't my mindset at the time. You know, it sounds good after the game is over, but in the heat of the battle, you're just thinking, man, just made a big play, just don't turn it back over. So that was my mindset, you know, kind of like back when we played Seattle back my rookie year, and Morgan caught a pick, and all the guys were telling him to take a knee. But we see how that unfolded. So my mind changed. It's now different now. Anytime I get my hand on the ball, man, it's always been the goal, man. I want to score. So that's next for me.
Okay, so he said initially he didn't want to score, but at the end there he said he did want to score.
Yeah, when he was in the play, his initial thought was, I just got to hang on to this football. Because you've seen that interception. And then the defensive player is wow. And then the guy goes, boom.
He's trying to make the all-world play.
So then Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, when he went back and watched the tape, he saw him make the interception. And then his thought when watching the tape back was, damn, I should have tried to score.
I thought he looked like he's trying to score to me.
I thought so too, but he says
otherwise. Ha-Ha, of all people, he's thinking six there. Because he could put that game on ice.
Yeah.
He could be the star. And I don't buy him.
Maybe he scores there, they win. Instead, they kick a field goal and leave two minutes on the clock.
He kind of gives you a little mixed opinion there, what he'd do. He says that usually he's thinking end zone, but there he's thinking getting down. I'm thinking he's trying to score. I'd have to see that again. I didn't see him running into tacklers. His mind was on going to the end zone. Otherwise, he would have fell down.
Right. Well, I mean, he moved a little bit. I mean, you want to get yardage back. Yeah. And you want to, if there's an opening to the end zone. But I think his number one priority was hang on to the football. And then when he watched it back, he thinks, well, maybe my number one priority should have been to try to score.
Interesting how he referred back to the Morgan Burnett play.
Yeah. Look at that. And interesting how he didn't really learn from it. It's Chuck and Winkler. Yeah. We're served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Your chance at the MVP. So even when the Brewers have bad nights, there's still an MVB to give away. They do it on the postgame show. You can win here from free food to Chili's. And Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything's coming up in just a couple of minutes. A lot of good questions today. A lot of good sports questions. Also a lot of weird ones. We'll answer them all. Continue to tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Use the hashtag AskCW.
We'll answer those in just a couple minutes. It's Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Brewers fans, who was yesterday's Chili's MVB? Be the first to know at 799-1250, and you'll win $20 Chili's cash. Chili's is back, baby. Back. This is Chuck and Winkler on the only station Brewers fans need, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The Milwaukee Brewers fall last night. The final, 3-1. Three hits for the Brewers. Not promising. Who was the Chili's MVB? 799-1250, the number to call. Free food at Chili's. Let's ask Brad. Brad, who was the Chili's MVB in last night's Brewers loss?
Lee Tunnel?
The bullpen guy?
Yep.
All right. Let's see. Was it Lee Tunnel?
Guys, your Chili's MVB in the Brewers 3-1 loss. Six relievers out of that pen putting up goose eggs. Lee Tunnel, the bullpen coach, your Chili's MVB.
Lee Tunnel, the perfect MVB on a day where we talk about what's wrong with the Brewers offense. Brad, good job.
Yeah, that bullpen. I was looking out there last night, man. That's awfully crazy. That's like a bench. That bullpen, you know, normally you got six or seven guys out there. Or seven or eight guys. That's a hefty bullpen with 14 of them out there.
Lee Tunnel. All right. Trevor Williams, Cedeno, Burns, Jennings, Barnes, Lyles, they all work through the end of the game there. Brad, congrats. You're good to go. Free food at Chili's.
Well, if anything, they save their big boys for tonight. And then they have an off day Thursday. So I would guess Haters would be available tonight.
Yeah.
Jeffers would be available.
He only pitched the one inning Monday, so I think he's good.
Jeffers would be available tonight. Knable would be available tonight. So have everybody ready. Gio's making the start. Gio was walking too many guys his last outing.
Yeah. There was a tweet last night that got some traction from Adam McKelvey. Adam McKelvey tweeted a picture of Chuck as the last one in the press box last night at Miller Park about 11:15. The caption read something to the extent of he's got to be up at dawn, yet he's the last earlier than dawn, yet he's the last one in the press box, our hero, Chuck Freeman. You were not the only one in that press box there, Freems.
Who else was there?
We will have a report from Steven Newsman.
I haven't heard from him in a while.
At 9 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness.
Steven Newsman.
Okay.
Report. The reporter that follows Chuck Freeman around.
I did not see him anywhere. I thought I was the only one there.
He's very coy that way.
When you leave Miller Park, it's you're one of the last guys to leave. It's just it's a really lonely feeling walking out of that place. Late at night by yourself, you're walking out. It's just a little eerie feeling walking out of Miller Park.
It's got to feel a little cool to be the only one in there.
No.
To be the only one in Miller Park?
That's
got to be a little cool.
No, I've been down that road too many times, just being the last guy there, and it's just weird. And then you're walking out, and you don't run into anybody. You just, boom, see a couple of security guys, some cleanup people, and that's it.
Oh, that's a shame. Are you going to be there tonight?
Yes, definitely.
Chuck Freeman.
Definitely.
The hero that we need.
Right back at it tonight.
In these desperate times. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan.
Do you have any questions?
You've been sending your questions in all morning for Chuck and Winkler. And now it's time for some answers.
Just answer the question, please.
This is Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Wednesday mornings right around this time, your questions get answered by us. They can be about sports. They can be about our job. They can be about women. They can be about the environment. They can be about science. They can be about movies. They can be about anything. Literally anything. Ask Chuck and Winkler Anything. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan with the hashtag AskCW. Cody Grant is your host.
Rosie.
Producer of this fine award-winning program. And we bring him in now. Good morning, Cody.
Good morning, guys. Questions can also be about food, as Brad tweets in, what is your favorite kind of Oreo?
Huh?
You know what? I think there's too many different types of Oreos. It's funny this guy brought this up because I'm at the store the other day, a couple months ago, and there's a million different. There's double stuffed and all that. Just give me the regular old Oreo. I grew up as a kid. I don't need special flavors or any like that or double stuffed. A regular old Oreo is plenty. And eat it like it is. Don't take the lid off. Eat it like it is. There you go,
really
player.
The only time I eat Oreos is in ice cream, to be honest.
Oh, I like that, too.
whether it's at the ballpark or a cement mixer or what have you.
Or how about like Blizzard?
Yeah, Blizzard.
Yeah.
That's another brand. Yeah, really the only time I eat Oreos is an ice cream.
Or
so,
Cops. I think they have a flavor of the day like that.
Okay. I guess my favorite Oreo would be the standard Oreo because that's the one they use in ice cream.
Yeah.
Cody.
Let's go to Philip. He wants to know a typical work day for both of you, starting when you wake up. Go on from there.
Chuck, you want to take that one?
Well, get up at 4 o'clock in the morning or so and get to the station at 5:15, write the sports updates, do the show with Bart, take a shower, maybe get a workout in, monitor the kid who's helping to produce the Bill Michaels show. Not Bill, not Joe, but one of the interns here. And, if I have a good game tonight, cover at night, get a little nap in the afternoon, maybe do some golfing, cover a game at night, go to bed all too late, maybe 11 o'clock, and get about 4 hours or 5 hours of sleep, and then do it all the next day.
I work from 6 to 10, and after 10 o'clock, I don't care.
When you say you don't care, like, anything?
I think he's making a dig at somebody.
Yep. I'm just kidding, Frames.
Dig at who? Frames?
No, let me turn off all the mic. Turn off your mic, and I'll tell you off the air. Just turn off your mic.
Oh. So, in other words, you want to work. When your shift is done at 10 o'clock, you're done.
Yeah, I'm done. God forbid I have to do an on-deck show.
Yeah.
Oh, Rom Dog. I'm talking about Rom Dog. No, come in. 6 to 10 is the show. Some days are weird. I'll either loiter here till about 3, doing podcast stuff, doing promos, preparing the next day's show. Some days I'll just go home at 10:30 and play Madden, honestly. But in that day, there will be at least 8 hours of work that I do and normally more. When we're watching games, whether we're at the game or watching the game on TV, a lot of time that's also when I'll get a lot of my work in. Some of the planning, some of the contacting guests, some of the reading that we do.
Mm-hmm.
People think that we are done at 10 and we have four-hour jobs.
Because if you don't watch the game at night, you're lost the next morning.
Yeah, and really...
And I've worked with guys like that who didn't see the game, and then you're doing a show with a guy, and I'm not... Nobody I worked with at this radio station, I'll take that. Nobody I've worked here who hadn't seen the game. You and the previous guy, you all watched the games. So I don't have to worry about that. But, I mean, I worked at other radio stations before, Bart, where you do the show and come in the morning to do the show, and it's like, he tells me he didn't see the game. I worked with a guy in the 90s who would never watch any of the games at night.
Why?
Who knows? And he would say, oh, I didn't see the game. Oh, you're going to have to carry the show because I didn't see the game last night.
Does he pretend like he saw the game?
Well, he's no longer in sports radio.
I think that's what bothers me when people didn't see the game and just don't say, hey, look, I'll take your thoughts on the game. I was just so busy last night. I didn't get a chance to watch it. I apologize.
It's your job.
There's 162 games. Something came up. I wish people would say that instead of saying like, oh, hey, did you see the... you see that time that Hader came in? They should have. Josh Hader.
Yeah.
If you didn't see the game, just admit that you didn't see the game, and we'll all forgive you and move on.
Okay. Are you looking at somebody at this radio station other than you and I?
I promise you, I won't answer that question.
Well, as I've always said, Rhodesy, this job is 24/7. If you don't love sports, you better not be in sports radio. And if you don't want to live it 24/7. Whether it's weekends or not, you shouldn't be in the business.
Cody!
Absolutely. Peter asks, which one of you is Bert and which one of you is Ernie?
I don't know.
They were in the news yesterday.
Ernie and Bert?
Yeah.
From Sesame Street?
Bert and Ernie.
Yeah, Bert and Ernie. It's not Yelich and Kane. Okay. It's Kane and Yelich.
All right.
Bert and Ernie were in the news because one of the guys that used to write on Sesame Street came out and said, I always wrote them like they were in a relationship. And then Sesame Street had to come out and say they were never in a relationship.
You mean the writer for Sesame Street said that?
The guy that did the Bert and Ernie sketches,
okay.
If that's what you want to call them,
yeah.
Said I always looked at them like they were in a relationship.
No, I looked at them as their roommates, like the Odd Couple.
Well, the writer like that Oscar wrote them Fiedler. Thought they were more than roommates.
No, they were. They slept in separate beds. They were, no. And that Ernie Bert had been around since the late 60s.
So we'll answer the question, though. Are you Bert or are you Ernie? You're taller, so you'd be Bert and I'd be Ernie.
Bert was always like the you know, he's always, you know, Ernie would do something and Bert would always growl at him.
So you're Bert and I'm Ernie.
I guess so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I guess that works.
Ernie would always be scatterbrained and Bert would try to be the man of reason.
So Bert and Ernie were in the news yesterday. Also,
but Bert would always screw up too.
Toad was in the news yesterday from Mario. Did you see that?
No.
Why was he in the news?
You guys didn't see?
No.
Toad was my go-to character on Mario Kart.
I don't want to get people mad.
Okay.
Stormy Daniels has a memoir.
Okay.
And she said that there's a part of Trump that looks like Toad.
Oh. Okay. Well, I don't know.
So the news, the real news cycle yesterday was dominated by Bert, Ernie, and Toad.
Yeah. And back to what I said about Ernie and Bert.
Just to
qualify that, you know, if they were depicting them in the relationship, there would be nothing wrong with it. But they were definitely not depicted by Sesame Street as being in a relationship.
Oh, it's like
they
fan
were friends.
Fiction.
They were buddies. They were best friends.
You ever do you know this genre of fan fiction? Where like, so fan, a lot of people write based on their favorite shows. So if somebody would write, like somebody could write an episode of Chuck and Winkler,
okay,
but they might ship us together where we would be in a relationship. So like, I'll give you a less close to home one. Like, how about Friends? Maybe somebody writes an episode of Friends, but in their timeline, Phoebe and Joey are together.
Okay.
Or Ross and Chandler are together.
All right.
Or Gunther and the Orange Couch are together. Who knows? Nothing wrong with any of those scenarios. But people will write a lot of fan fiction. So maybe they're Bert and Ernie are in a relationship if you want them to be. But Sesame Street said no, they're not.
No, they're not.
They're not.
I don't think they... No. No. Never nervous.
Cody.
Bobby wants to know if you guys had to play a pickup basketball game against each other in a 4-on-4, which three NBA players would you choose to play with you?
Let's have a draft then.
Okay.
So do you want to draft first or me?
Go ahead. You go first.
Okay. I'm going to take Draymond Clay and Kevin Durant.
Okay.
No, I'm going to draft first. I'm going to take Giannis.
All right. I'd still take Michael Jordan.
Today?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'd still take Larry Bird.
Okay, I'm going to take LeBron.
Because somehow Larry Bird would still get it done.
I think Bart Seaman would win.
He with boxing gloves.
At this time.
And then I'll take... you said you got Giannis and...
LeBron.
Giannis and LeBron. I'll take Steph Curry.
Okay, well, I'll take KD.
Well, and I'll take...
That's 4-on-4?
That's
4-on-4.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it.
Bart, LeBron, Giannis, and Durant versus Chuck... Curry, 50-year-old Michael Jordan, and can barely walk Larry Bird.
Yeah, I'll take Bart's team.
But don't you somehow think if Larry could get out there, he'd be... When it's on the line, like it wasn't this three-point shooting contest.
This ain't no McDonald's commercial.
No.
You basically picked
McDonald's
commercial.
Larry.
Chuck,
is, okay, it's like, okay, okay,
moon,
here's a story.
Off
okay,
the barn.
Here's a story. Travis Diener, our buddy.
How'd you not take him?
What's that?
Why didn't you take him on
your team? Well, if it was a fifth team, I would have picked him. So Travis one time had a game of horse and lost to Larry Bird. I said, why would you ever play a game with Larry Bird past his prime anyway? Larry Bird would beat you with boxing gloves on. That's how good he is. So I would never face Larry Bird in anything. That guy, one of the greatest competitors of all time, I would still think, I know, yeah, he's 60 years old and got a heart issue. But Larry Bird, I wouldn't discount anything with that guy until he's dead.
Cody.
Arnell tweets in, what do you guys think that used to be considered trashy, but now is considered classy?
Arnell, dude, that's a thinker.
What did I you know what? Franklin. No, honest.
No, you're right.
Franklin. Franklin, yeah. But when I was growing up, Franklin was all farmland and redneck area. It was. 70s and 80s, Franklin is an elite community. So Franklin did a 180. The coach at Greendale used to take buses. The coach at Franklin, when you know they were dirt poor, used to take his team dirt poor. I don't care, as you would say, when I correct your enunciation. The coach at Franklin used to take his buses through Greendale before games and say, "See, this is how the rich kids live. This is you're going to let these kids beat you." And now look at Franklin today.
I'm going to say wearing sweatpants to work because that's more of a hopeful one. Because I did it. I wore sweatpants today to work, and I always wear jeans, and I always take a shower before I come in. I try to dress like a human, and today I thought I don't want to. So I didn't shower, and I'm wearing sweatpants.
I would say beards.
Oh, beards. That's a good answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Growth.
Beard growth?
I think Rhodes does. I think Rhodes shaves once a week, and he lets it all grow out.
Oh, no. I do not shave once a week.
How often?
Probably like once a month.
He just shaved this weekend.
I did shave this weekend.
And then you let it all grow out and then shave again?
Yeah, I don't like it. I miss the beard already. I immediately regretted the decision.
Tony, if I'm not mistaken, shaves the mustache part of his face, though, and has a beardless without a mustache.
Oh, okay.
No, I used to do that.
You right. did? You don't
I
anymore?
I don't do it anymore.
Okay, I hated that.
Yeah.
Because I can't grow hair in the middle of my
Nobody
lip.
Can.
You can.
You're damn right I can.
Yeah.
Because I'm an alpha.
Sure.
I don't see hair on your faces. How come I'm the only one running around here with facial
hair? I do.
Hair?
I got a level 4 day growth going on here. But I'm going to shave today.
Grow a beard out.
Oh, I look terrible.
I got my playoff beard going already.
I look terrible.
That's what I'm doing. Cody.
Let's go to Mr. Kerps. Which Packers player, besides Aaron Rodgers, would you sign to a lifetime contract today?
Oh, my.
Which Packer player?
Yep.
Current?
Current. Except for Rodgers.
I'm gonna take the easy way out and say Crosby or J.K. Scott. Even though Crosby missed, he made five field goals.
I mean, J.K. Scott is a weapon, man. That guy had a 63-yard punt the other day. There's nobody really on that team. Not even Devontae. Devontae had a couple of disappointing drops the other day. I'll say that. But I'll say Mason Crosby. You can never go wrong with him, except he missed the other day, which was surprising. But Mason, he's as good as gold as it gets.
Not to make you guys stop your life, but tomorrow at 8:20... there's some stuff we got to talk about with Michael Cohen based on his last athletic piece, including the long snapper situation, because that might have come into play on the Crosby miss. So we'll talk about that with Cohen from the Athletic 8:20 tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. And also, it's not Devon House's fault that they scored. So we'll talk about that with Michael tomorrow.
Who scored?
That Diggs scored the 75-yarder.
Oh, okay.
According to Michael. We'll talk to him 8:20 tomorrow. Cody, I think we can do one more.
Let's see. Let's get a good one here. We'll go to Brewer fan. If the Brewers were playing in the World Series Game 7, how much would you pay for that ticket?
Oh, God, $500. We're talking Game 7 of the World Series of the Brewers, which has only happened once in our lifetime, and it was in St. Louis.
So if I said I got a ticket for $600, you wouldn't go that high?
Well,
really think about this one.
Yeah. I mean, I know buddies of mine who wouldn't pay $800 to go see the Packers playing the Super Bowl in 2010.
One game. It's at Miller Park.
Yes, at Miller Park, Game 7, World Series.
Yeah, I mean it's a once in a lifetime deal. Probably. I mean, if they were going to the World Series on a regular basis like the Yankees do, then I would say no.
But even then, you might never see a Game 7.
That's what I'm saying.
I'd have to take out
charge it.
For one game.
It's one night.
Trying to be realistic and trying to know that I think I'd go as high as $2,000.
You'd go that high?
That's way out of my budget.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, of course.
That's like.
You put your salary on Twitter last week.
Of my salary. Yeah. I think I'd go up to $2,000.
Yeah. And I wouldn't blame you because.
And I would never tell my wife.
Well, she's not going to find that $2,000.
I'd get a new credit card.
But isn't she going to find out?
No, I'd get a new credit card.
But yeah, but doesn't have to.
She don't have to be on it.
Okay. But when the bill comes, isn't she going to see the mail?
Online banking.
Okay.
Yeah,
boy.
She won't see it. Who gets the statements mailed to them anymore, bud?
Oh, I do.
Email.
I do.
AOL.com.
I know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's Ask Chuck and Winkler. Anything, we do it every Wednesday around this time. We'll do it next week as well. We got to talk some Christian Yelich. A lot of discussion around the MVP situation and why the Brewers not winning a division could cost him. And we'll see if you guys agree with that or not.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.